Welcome to Cycle Breakers and Money Makers, a podcast for women of color and first gen who are breaking generational cycles and glass ceilings by going places no one before them has ever gone. I'm your host, leadership coach, and eldest daughter of immigrants, Mariela De La Mora. I left a 16-year marketing career to create a multiple six-figure-a-year coaching business as a single mom. Each week, you'll learn how to build unshakable self-trust, become in demand, lead with confidence, and make more money by being more of who you are.
Hey, everyone. So today I am going to be sharing with you how I developed a skill that I now teach that I'm coining as five-figure selling. And I don't mean like making five figures. I mean selling a service or an offer that is five figures or more. At the time, like getting into entrepreneurship, all of that, it wasn't something that I actively thought about, but I was in the process of developing this back then, even though I didn't realize it. And the reason that it's not anything that I've heard of, but it's so life-changing is because when you are able to sell and create demand at this level and trust at this level and an identity and a self-concept at this level, you truly can do anything and it changes your life. It's changed my life. And so in this episode today, I want to talk about what that is, what that has looked like for me, and how you can start to shift your perspective and see the opportunities of where this exists for you right now, not years from now, you know, all of that. Like the concepts that I'm going to teach and talk about on this episode, and then I'll actually go more into depth on my workshop on May 15th. It's called Five Steps to Creating Trust and Demand from Five-Figure Clients. I thought it was important to explain what I mean by that, because I think that when we see a title, there's so many objections even to the title of like, oh, well, I don't want to sell something at like five figures, or what if I have a completely different type of service that like nothing in my niche is five figures, or, oh, I don't want to do that. I have thoughts about like what my community can afford, or just all those things. That I want you to know that this doesn't have to be literal five figures. What it means is that there is a purchase process that happens in a consumer's mind when something is priced at the top or higher in a price range versus when they're walking into something lower ticket or bargain, right? And that we all as consumers, no matter if we're buying drugstore shampoo versus like, you know, there's a brand called Melon and Goats, I think, that I really love. And so it's like, what is the difference that makes somebody want to buy $50 shampoo, right? So, and obviously this is different because it's our services, but as a marketer, I've kind of brought that with me. So I kind of like accidentally knew these things going into it. And so a lot of this is what I'm going to teach you, because it isn't just strategy, but it is also, it's partially strategy and partially self-concept and how you see yourself. And I want you to know that it's available to you now, and that even if your price isn't there, you will see the impacts in different ways. And I'm going to talk about what those might look like if you don't have a five-figure offer, if you're under six figures, because I was doing five-figure selling from day one. And I'm going to talk about what that looked like for me. So first, I want to tell you a little bit about my entrepreneurship story and how being on food stamps at age 35 and being pregnant and essentially feeling like my life fell apart and I had to restart completely changed the way that I approach business. It had me go into it with kind of different expectations and like a bar that I set really high for myself that I'll talk about. I'm also going to cover what do I mean by five-figure selling and how it shows itself, like what are the different kind of components to it and how it's different from selling low ticket. Like you can be good at selling five figures and struggle to sell lower ticket services. It's a different buying process. So we're just going to be talking about the five-figure buying process or just the higher ticket buying process when it comes to similar or somewhat parallel options, right? First, I'll talk to you about where this even came from in the first place, because my circumstances, my mindset, my story affected how I went into business and what I prioritized. And essentially, like, I think that I was able to hit six figures my first year because of these things, even though I had a lot of challenges going into it. So a little bit about how I went into entrepreneurship. I'm a marketer, and I essentially went from a six-figure marketing salary, getting multiple six-figure job offers, even getting poached, all the things, having a husband, a condo, all the things that you think you should have, want to have, to within the same year, very quickly, being on food stamps, broke, pregnant, and having to move back in with my parents, despite doing all the right things. And I say the right things in air quotes. And that really fucked me up, to be honest. It really, really messed me up. I just felt like I had never lost so much money safety at one time. I just remember saying, I'm never going to be broke again. Like, whatever I have to do, I'm never going to be broke again. And mind you, I use that against myself a lot. So that's not necessarily a helpful mindset to have. I've seen it in my clients, but I also recognize it because when you've come from being broke, and this wasn't the first time, like I grew up without having money. My parents grew up in poverty. I used to worry about money growing up. I used to worry that they couldn't pay the mortgage. I used to save my allowance just in case we couldn't pay the mortgage because they would audibly worry about money in the house. We wouldn't turn the heater on because we didn't want to spend money on PG&E. We would wear sweaters. We never went out. We never went on vacation. We never went out to eat, right? Other than McDonald's 39-cent cheeseburgers on Sundays, right? This is how I grew up, being like, money is hard to earn. You need to save every single penny. I grew up with parents who were, my dad was like, I was really hungry growing up and I used to eat the adobe of the house that my house was made out of. I was so hungry. I didn't have shoes or like I never got Christmas presents or birthday presents. Like they were poor. So I have every reason to feel really shaky about money. And yet I went into getting my college degree, getting two master's degrees, going into marketing, climbing the ladder, making all the money. And seemingly overnight, it all went away. I talk about it in my episode one, so I won't like recreate the whole story here, but I thought this was important because when I tell you that I am sitting on a peaceful, multiple six-figure baseline business where I do not have to be the loudest person on the internet, I don't need to even be that consistent. Now I'm consistent because I have a team and I have never felt more secure around money. This is what I'm teaching in the workshop on May 15th, right? And this is what I'm going to allude to today on today's episode. That's where I came from. And so I worked so hard. And then for different reasons, I lost it all because I had spent it to move overseas to London, got married, all the things. I was the one that was making more in the relationship. And then, you know, it ended or he left and I was stuck having to pay for our condo by myself, which I couldn't afford by myself. And then having to ship all my stuff back. My cat and his papers and all the things. And like very quickly, then it was like, oh, I can't earn money because now I'm working for a European company and I can't be an employee anymore. And so now I have to stop earning money and I have to go part-time or I have to stop earning money because I was pregnant and I needed to give birth and there's no maternity leave if you don't work for an American company because I didn't. It was all gone. And I didn't have the means to make money any other way than a job. And that was the beginning of me being like, this is not secure. This is not secure. Like, I need to do something else. And it's like, the husband is not secure because that didn't fucking help me. The having a house, I had a house once and I bought it before the stock market or whatever, the housing crash of 2007. I bought a house in 2006. So I've literally had every form of conventional security like fail on me. And when that happened and I was unexpectedly like did not know this marriage was going to end and I'm all of a sudden like I'm pregnant and I knew that it like I couldn't pay my rent at one point. It was the first time I ever had to ask my mom to like help me pay 1 month's rent so I could get out of this condo that I couldn't afford. And I moved back in and I had to get on food stamps and free healthcare and all the things and I had to stop working. I was just like, oh my God, I'm never going to be broke again. I thought it was important for me to open this episode with this story so that you can understand where I came from and that my view of making as much money as I can with integrity and with peace and with safety is the most important thing. And this is what I teach my clients and why it is important because I work with lots of daughters of immigrants and lots of women of color and lots of us have our own money stories of I don't ever want to be broke again. I grew up being broke. I saw my parents struggle and the things that make them clench up and not be able to make money and or they're making money, but they are accidentally blending in, even though they're absolute geniuses. Like I work with geniuses, and they don't realize it. Sometimes they do, but I work with geniuses in disguise. Like they learn it and they believe it through Reclamation Mastermind and working with me. But I wanted to just preface that to begin with. Really, what that meant was me going into entrepreneurship. I decided that I was going to work for myself when I was being poached for other jobs and there were multiple six-figure offers. In fact, 250K always was in my mind of if I make 250K, I have met it's the equal amount of money that I would have gotten in a job. So for me, 250, like for some, it's like, oh my gosh, that's such so much money. And it is. But for me, I was like, cool. So I want to get to 250. Like that's how high I set the bar for myself because I said no to job offers worth that. And so there's a significance in my marketing around $250,000, a peaceful $250,000 year. And there's a significance of like having a five-figure offer because that's how you need a five-figure offer in order to get there. And so I just basically was not impressed at six figures going in. I was just like, yeah, cool. Six figures is going to be like where we start. What do we need to do? And that was the baseline because I was going from saying no to a take-home pay of $10,000 a month. Like that would have been my take-home pay to go into coaching and knowing I wasn't going to do that right away. But 10K a month in coaching, in revenue is not 10K to yourself. It's like half, right? It depends on your business model. Early on, it's different. But I went in and I was like, I'm going to make a fuck ton of money. Like, I don't know when, but I'm never going to quit. However long that it takes, I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do whatever it takes. What's interesting about that though, and this is why I realized this is what my clients need, is that I had the mindset of being in demand from day one. I had the mindset of being in demand no matter what, because I was in demand as a marketer. I had Uber and Facebook and different companies, Google, wanting me to come in. And you may not have that circumstance, but too often you are sitting on a circumstance that you're refusing to see about how good you are at what you do. There's probably transferable skills that you are using in your business right now that you're not even giving yourself credit for. The difference is I gave myself credit. I was just like, well, I'm really good at being a marketer. I know that I will always be okay. I will always figure it out. I will always figure out how to make money. I've never not figured out how to make money, even when I was broke and on food stamps and pregnant. And that's one of the things that I realized, which is that demand is a mindset first. Another difference that I think informed the way that I went into business, which is now something that I coach my clients on, is I valued my time highly. So I thought about like an hour with me is like worth hundreds of dollars because I know that I can really like help someone. And at the time I had zero coaching experience, but I gave myself lots of credit for how I had mentored my team or the information that I knew about marketing or just how I knew how to hold space for people. So I just like valued my time and my expertise highly. And I also early on, this is another thing I think that allowed me to make six figures my first year, was like I began muting anything and anyone who made me compare myself. Period. It didn't matter. There's nothing wrong with you if you didn't make six figures your first year. I think that that's not necessarily what I'm getting at. It's just that I think there were definitely lessons now that I, as a coach, have had to kind of break down how that happened to be able to teach the concepts of that to my clients. I want to teach the concepts of that to my clients of what creates demand and trust and overflow of demand in a way that you're not losing yourself and you're not putting yourself in a position where you feel like you have to perform to like make that money or change who you are. Like the more me that I was, the more money I made. I was inconsistent all the time. I had more bad mental health days than I had good mental health days for the most part. You know what I mean? So it's different now, but back then for the first few years, more bad mental health days than good mental health days. And I still made money. And I've always made six figures. And lately, yes, multiple six figures. I'm telling you this because I want you to know that it's accessible to you. So what five-figure selling means is creating an impression on your audience of how much they would pay for your service before they know how much it is. So before they go to your page, before they go to book a call, before they go to your website, wherever it's listed, they form an impression. And the way that this happens is, the best analogy that I can give you is the show, The Price is Right. And so I don't know how many of you like are old enough that you watched it or you knew your parents watched it, whatever. But in The Price is Right, they would bring out different things, products, trips, appliances, cars. And because it wasn't just you looking at it, they would describe its features, they would describe the experience, all the things. And then based on that, people would guess a price. People do that all the time for everything, literally all the time. You do it. I do it. It is a subconscious thing. So think about like when you go into a store and if the store is cluttered, unorganized, loud, the staff is inattentive, you have a question about something, you want to get something off of one of the hooks that's up really high, you don't know how to get it, no one's, you know, whatever, or the staff's just talking to themselves, or they're talking shit, or they're talking about when are you going to go on break, or whatever. And if I flipped over that price tag, my brain would be like, I expect it to be kind of cheap. Because that's the experience I'm having when I'm here. And that doesn't even mean the store has to be branded and like look a certain way. It's just more like the experience. Whereas if you go into a shop, it's organized, it's clean, it's well lit. The staff acknowledges you and greets you. They give you space. If you ask them questions, they have answers. They have recommendations. They know what's in stock. They ask, hey, do you want me to start a room for you? You touch the clothes feel like it's really good quality. When you go to grab that tag to flip it over, you won't be shook if it's a $75 t-shirt. You might, you'd be like, damn, but I get it though. Like, look at the quality of this fabric. I have such, and you are, instantly, you're like, you would actually be happier to spend $75 on a shirt than you would to have spent $40 on the shirt at the other store, where it felt like it was a janky experience. And people have that experience about us all the time before they ever reach out to us. They have that experience when they go to our social media profile. And this is all separate from brand, right? I got a rebrand last year, but I was selling and booking out five-figure offers long before I ever had a rebrand, long before I had a podcast, long before I had a website. My website was jank. It didn't even have my services on it, right? So like, I was booking out $15,000 offers before this. So I'm saying, this is from the perspective of trust, credibility, and overall experience, not aesthetics, even though aesthetics do matter, but not for purposes of what I'm talking about. It's important because, like I said, people have that experience of us when they come to our world. They'll look and they'll say, okay, is it clear what this person does? What do they help people with? I want to look for evidence of like, who have they worked with? Is this person like me? Do I want those results? Can I go and hear this person share their expertise on channels they don't own? Like, not just your podcast, your lives, like somewhere else. They're asking themselves these questions, right? If you make it hard to find that information, or you make it hard to book a call, or you make it hard to pay, or just make it confusing in general, and they're looking and they're vetting and they don't find it, they'll often just move on. I know this as a marketer because I'm always thinking about how do people think about their experience, right? But they're always forming an impression. So I naturally always put those things on the forefront, which is why I was able to sell at maybe a higher ticket than most on day one and be able to sell out offers at 10K, at 12K, at 15K, right? And these are things, like I said, that are accessible to you regardless of how much you're charging currently. But that's what five-figure selling is that somebody will flip the price tag over and they won't even bat an eye. They'll just be like, oh, that makes sense. In fact, they would be confused if your offer was like 4K. They'd be like, what? That's weird. Like, you also can turn people off by being priced too low. The way that we do this, we're going to talk about in this episode and what is involved in this. And part of it is strategy and part of it is not strategy, right? Now, what creates five-figure demand, five-figure trust for someone to not bat an eye is you having expert energy, you being able to build trust in your marketing, and you having relevancy. Relevancy meaning you're not just general. General does not command a high price. Relevant means you are very specific. You know this person so, so, so well. You are plucking trains of thought from their mind. And they're like, there's nobody else like this person. So expert energy, trust, and relevancy. And another thing to note about this is that when you're creating demand at this level, these clients have all the options. Because when you're not going to bat an eye, like if you are the person that's walking in and you're like, yeah, I'm probably going to drop like $250 on like three things I'm going to buy in this store, you have more options. And so they're looking for specific things that they know, it's like they could go anywhere, but they want to work with you. And you need to give them that in your marketing, in your belief about yourself and how you carry yourself. Okay, so now I want to share how does being able to create the impression that it could cost five figures to have your offer or to work with you, even if it's not the case right now, how that, which I call five-figure selling, how does that help with the majority of mindset problems that I see in entrepreneurs, in particular, daughters of immigrants, I say women of color, but lots of daughters of immigrants will have these. It helps you to eliminate comparison, first of all. That's number one. And the reason is because selling like a five-figure expert requires you to own your thought leadership. It requires you to understand exactly how you're different, why you're different, and that that need exists. And that is, it is a little pocket. It's not the same as anybody else, and that there's literally nobody like you, and that it would be apples and oranges, right? So it does really help eliminate comparison. So what I think about is, yes, we can solve that on the belief level and the thought level, but if we actually solve it on tangibly speaking, how are you so different? You may be a money coach, and there's lots of money coaches, but if you have a unique story that causes you to have different philosophies and a different approach as a result, because it's something you wish that you had, then you're unlike any other money coach in the world. And like really leaning into that and your story around that. And that's what attracts opportunities. That's what attracts speaking engagements. That's what attracts clients where there's like no competition in their mind. So it helps eliminate competition, which is a common mindset problem. The other mindset problem, I'd say, is a challenge with being visible. But the thing is, when you are selling like a five-figure expert, you don't have to be the loudest person on the internet. You don't even have to be the most consistent. And that is because when you're selling like a five-figure expert and you're leading with your thought leadership, then it's quality over quantity. People are like waiting to hear your every word. You can be visible, but you also know that you don't need to be in people's faces all the time, pumping out a bunch of posts, a bunch of emails. Like I'm notoriously inconsistent and I still make money, right? So there's that. The other is that it helps to fuel your belief that your work is important because what I help my clients do, because part of five-figure selling is looking at the unmet need, because people pay more money to solve something that they don't see anybody else solving, right? So this is just a literal fact of like what sells is like not just trying to, you know, be louder than anybody else or whatever. It's like, what is the actual unmet need within your industry? Who needs that thing? And speaking to that also helps. And that's what allows you to charge more. And that's what allows you to realize that there's no competition. The other thing is five-figure selling, at least the way that I teach it, it requires you to bring your belief up and your identity up. It requires you to see your clients as empowered versus struggling. I don't often use pain point marketing. You may be experiencing pain points and challenges, but I like to paint possibilities of like, this is how it is now. Doesn't mean anything's wrong with that, but it could be so much easier. It could be so much faster. You could feel so much more peaceful. This could feel so much more sustainable for you, right? And that is also five-figure expert energy because you don't make people feel bad about themselves. You attract empowered clients who are just like, no, I'm here and I'm ready to work with you and I'm ready to do the work. And that tends to attract a different type of client. And the last reason why five-figure selling solves your mindset problems is because you will never need to perform again. And what I mean by that is it's not based on unshakable like expertise and confidence. It's actually based on you being transparent, being a leader, and kind of like leading from where you are, like leading from where you are regardless. And people will appreciate that versus you feeling like you have to give some impression. So to me, it's the most sustainable way to market. Five-figure selling solves your demand problems because it helps your clients eliminate comparison. So in the mindset part, it helps you eliminate comparison, but on the demand part, it helps your clients eliminate comparison because they will clearly see there's nobody else that has this angle. There's nobody else that has these philosophies. There's nobody else that has these approaches or these beliefs or this story, which makes it easy for them. When this happens, they will even tell other people about you. This is another way that it creates demand, is that people will tell other people about you, even if those people aren't your clients. Like, it won't just be your clients referring you. It will be people being like, they're great. You should check them out. The number of people who recently have come to me and said, somebody sent me your podcast, and they weren't always clients. It's like, that's thought leadership. That's five-figure selling. Like, that's the trust that someone is like, you have to hear this person's podcast. Who does that? Like, people don't just go around and like share that unless they actually co-sign with it, unless it's actually helpful, right? It has to be in the sea of information that people can consume. You have to be the person that is like very specifically has a point of view, has thought leadership, is speaking to a specific unmet need, really carries themselves and sees themselves highly. Another reason why five-figure selling solves demand problems is because it gives the price is right show, five-figure impression. It gives the five-figure impression, just like if you were watching The Price is Right and people were like, based on her client results, based on her message, based on who she's speaking to specifically, based on what I feel like her values are, based on her sharing her expertise and what I've heard her say, I would guess that her coaching is worth, or her offer is worth X amount, right? So it's the five-figure impression that would make your price, whatever it is, a no-brainer. That's the reason, that's how it solves demand problems, because it creates a perception in people's minds that could even be that they're willing to pay more than it actually is. The other reason why it helps to solve demand problems is because the way that I teach it is that people are able to build so much clarity and trust through your marketing, where they feel like they know you, they know who you've worked with, they know what you stand for, that they are much more sold by the time they get to a discovery call because of the trust you built and how easy you make it for them to vet you like you had a five-figure offer. Because there's a whole vetting process that clients go through at a five-figure offer that they expect that they don't expect at a lower ticket offer. I saw the change. It's like hands down, completely, not completely different, but it's different. And they would quote me, this is how I vetted you. This is what I looked at. This is what I looked at. So I know they vet you different, and you could put those things in your marketing right now. So they're more sold by the time they get to the call because you make it easy to vet you. The other thing of how it helps to solve demand problems is because it eliminates price objections. I never get price objections, even at $15,000, right? I've never gotten more painfuls ever in my life that I have at, you know, $12,000 and $15,000. And the trust that you build in your marketing, the expert energy that you build, that you have in your marketing, the relevancy of your marketing, like I was saying before, the expert energy, trust, and relevancy, that is what creates, like, that's what eliminates the resistance. When you have expert energy, you have trust, and you have relevancy, people are like, yeah, okay, let's do it. Like, they're not like, oh, I don't know, it's a lot. Because in their mind, they don't think it's a lot. They might think it's a lot. They might think it's the most they've ever invested in themselves. But my clients don't come to me with that energy. They're more like, okay, I'm ready. Is this going to work for me? Not, this is too much, or this is expensive. You don't need to get that energy, right? Because I also don't entertain that thought whatsoever, right? So that's important. And that's where the self-concept part comes in, is I have no thoughts about my price at all. It never makes me want to lower it, right? Yes, that doubt doesn't enter my mind. And if I ever did, it wouldn't be because of my thoughts. It would be because of facts. So five-figure selling as a sales skill helps you eliminate price objections. And finally, once you have demand, it's much easier to maintain demand, because demand creates demand. People want to work with people who are in demand. So this is how I'll have clients who will land 5 clients in a month, 6 clients in a month, right? And then from there, they grow a wait list. And then I guide them on like what to do when that happens, so that they don't just stop and pull the plug, that they continue serving, they continue looking at their client results, they continue being of service, nurturing like the community, helping them, growing a wait list, all of that, so that they never have to be reactive again, and that they're maintaining it. It's almost like there's so much momentum. Then I teach you just like, how do we just continue to nudge that momentum forward so that you can stay booked out? So it doesn't have to take all of this work. And really, this is all what I'm going to go more into depth on at my workshop on Wednesday, May 15th at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. It is called the 5 Steps to Creating Trust and Demand that Attracts Five-Figure Clients. Attend, even if you never want to have a five-figure offer, even if you're selling something that's lower ticket and that's just like the industry standard, whatever. It really just means being an expert that people don't think about the price. They're just like, yeah, whatever it is, it's worth it. You want to be that person. You want to be the person that people are talking about you who aren't even working with you. They're like telling other people, you need to follow her. You need to listen to her podcast. And that just hits different. That is what has given me so much peace and safety. It has changed my clients' lives, where now it will be, let's say, March, and they're like, well, I'm booked out until August on this. Now I can give myself a break, or I can focus on this other offer. I just don't feel like I need to be in hustle mode like all the time. I was told by someone who attended one of my current clients who attended the retreat for reclamation in Mexico City. She was like, I was talking to your clients, the ones that renewed, some of them are on the third round now. And she was just like, yeah, I can't wait to get coached. Like, I want to get coached more. Like, what do you guys want to get coached on? And they're just like, yeah, we're chilling. Like, we're good. We're all booked out. You know, like, they're working on stuff. But that sense of urgency, it's not there like it used to be because they know they're going to be fine. They know that they can turn the tap on anytime they want. And the tap is turned on. Like, it's fine. They are fine. They know how to make money. They believe in themselves. They know how to show up for themselves. They know how to assess, like, what is this a business problem or is this a life problem? Like, they feel okay taking their foot off the gas because they don't have worries that they're not going to be able to put the gas back on. You know what I mean? Like, to accelerate when they need to. And that to me is the biggest win. And that's how I feel in my business. This is why the way that I coach is created around that. Like, how can a six and multiple six-figure business feel peaceful and just chill and grounded, and you feel like, you know, you feel supported and held in your business, that you don't feel like it's slipping through your fingers, or that if you take a month off or if you take your eye off the ball, it's all going to fall apart. Like, that's not how my clients think. And that's how I want you to show up to your business. And I am going to help you in this workshop on May 15th. I'm going to help you in Reclamation Mastermind. It is unlike any space that I've ever seen exist. I created it based on my life story and experiences, based on my experience as a coach, based on my marketing experience of being a marketer for 2 decades, based on being a single parent who's going through a healing journey, who had more bad mental health days than good mental health days, based on me being someone with ADHD who is not maybe the most structured person. None of those things have to stop you from making lots of money. And we need more women of color and more daughters of immigrants making a lot of money, but how we make it is a real flex. So join me at the workshop, 5 Steps to Creating Trust and Demand from 5-Figure Clients on May 15th. Register, get on the list, and get ready to apply for Reclamation Mastermind when we open the doors on Wednesday, May 15th. We already have such an incredible cohort of women inside that are your future mastermind sisters. You would be joining them. And there will be a retreat in February 2025 and possibly some other in-person get-togethers and events this year. And I just can't wait. I cannot wait to see y'all. I hope this was helpful, and I will see you soon.